And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. This is the White Ranger Michael with the Red Ranger Sasha.
The one, the amazing, the fabulous, the ever snarky.
And I apologize if I am not sounding my normal perky self. I am braving through migraines, which Sasha knows about. There's no padding on the back for this one.
Should have taken the Advil before we recorded, but shh.
That's what I do before I go to bed. But we're doing Forever Friends and a Real Fish Story on today's episode. So let's hop right into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Why don't we start with Forever Friends, with everyone's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run through. And we begin at the youth center. Kim is practicing gymnastics, and Aisha's friend from Stone Canyon arrives and is not happy. Shauna keeps adding tension to the situation, and Aisha suggests the three hang out at the park. Meanwhile, the guys are in shop class, Bulk and Skull looking to make jetpacks. Actually, good on them. That's some pretty cool creativity there. At the park, Goldar attacks and kidnaps Kim and Shauna. Zed is mad that the Rangers banded together, so he creates a monster. And then while in captivity, Kim and Shauna do some bonding. At the command center, Aisha feels she's failed. Alert sound Zed's monster, and then Tommy morphs to go save Kim and Shauna. The others morph to fight the monster. And putty battles. Great theatrics by Tommy to break the force field. Like, seriously, all you had to do is just swing Saba, and it would have been done. You didn't have to go Shakespeare on it. Alpha transports Shauna out of there while Kim morphs. Goldar and Tommy battle. Kim goes to help the others. And then Zed makes his monster grow. It's Thunder Megazord time, and a very interesting battle and standoff. You don't normally see the monster and the Megazords do a standoff. And then at the youth center, Kim and Shauna compete in their gymnastics competition. Kim gets a near perfect score. Shauna also gets a near perfect score, and it ends with a tie. Yeah, a tie.
So the quality of these episodes was not that great to begin with, but I feel like content-wise, it just kind of went downhill. It was like, we pulled it all together for the wedding, and now we're just gonna forget about everything else. Because what could have been a really cool story about Aisha, reconciling with her friend, that's a word, and like bringing like her friend into this friendship that she has with Kim, and ends up being more about Kim and her friend Shauna than it is about Aisha.
And yeah, so much for being Aisha centric,
right? It's so stupid. But we also, again, don't know under what circumstances Aisha transferred. My guess is like Zordon was like, I want to keep these kids where I can keep an eye on them for no reason other than I'm a creeper. So he orchestrated their transfer from Stone Canyon to Angel Grove.
And this is also something that, like, even though we're not going to really talk about it much now, it does get touched on a little bit more with Aisha going into season 3. Because there is an episode that actually tackles this.
I believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
So I like the coolest part about this episode was Bulk and Skull in the jetpack. But like, imagine this is the segment Sasha likes to call the quick rewrite. So imagine, if we will, Kimberly's getting ready for a gymnastics competition, and Aisha introduces her to her friend Shauna. Shauna is cold to Kimberly, and so Aisha decides that the three of them should hang out and get to know each other. Aisha is maybe a little cold towards Shauna too, because they stop talking to each other. And so over the course of a picnic, they start to bond. But then everything is interrupted when Shauna is kidnapped, for example. Or maybe it's Aisha and Shauna that's kidnapped. And then Aisha cannot rely on her ranger powers and is the one that has to rescue them without letting Shauna know that she's the Yellow Ranger. Would have been kind of a slight parallel to when she got kidnapped, but I guess maybe at this point the writers were like, we can't have her get kidnapped again.
Well, not only that, but like one other rewrite would be, instead of sending Tommy to save Kim and Shauna, it should have been Aisha.
100%.
You would get rid of the theatrical swinging Saba around before striking the thing. You could have easily just had her take the power daggers or the power blaster, like Trini did in Ninja Encounter, and just break it, you know?
They have some cool blasters that can just like destroy chains. So like, duh.
Force fields.
Yeah. But this is the thing, like when Tommy's the one that sent, I have a note here. It says, why can't Aisha go? Like, this would have been a great, like, okay. So Kim and Sean are kidnapped. Aisha's like, oh my God, I have to contact the others. Or maybe she can't contact the others. Maybe Zed's monster is like jamming communications. So Aisha then has to go by herself and rescue them while the others have to deal with the monster. That would have been cooler, except there's this like Tommy and the Pips kind of a situation happening in these two episodes where like, just when it starts setting up a cool team up with some of the other Rangers, something happens and it becomes the Tommy show. And Tommy can go and jump off a cliff for all I care. So, but there is one note.
But also another thing is that, and as I noted, Zed is mad that the Rangers banded together because the whole plot of kidnapping Kim and Shauna was to have it where Aisha would be blamed for the kidnapping and the Rangers wouldn't trust her. And I'm like,
why would that make sense?
But if you take that logic of what Lord Zed wants to do, right? That it's Aisha's fault that they got kidnapped.
He really should have had a guilt trip monster.
Then right then and there, that's just built a bigger reason to have Aisha be the one to save them. Because you go, I made the mistake of letting him get captured. I'm making it right by rescuing them. You just based off of what Lord Zed wanted to do, you can take that and build off of it. And they didn't do that either. And that is also where your rewrite comes in.
And also the mere notion that Zed thought that the Rangers would automatically blame Aisha when it was just like if Zed had like duped the feed to make it look like Aisha was the one that like kidnapped Kimberly and the other girl, like the Rangers would have totally believed it because they believe anything you tell them. They're not that bright, surprisingly. Oh, look, Tommy's acting suspiciously. I wonder what that could mean. So like Zed's motivation here makes no sense. It would have been fun if he created like a guilt trip monster that shames Aisha into not calling Zordon and the other Rangers because she thinks it's her fault and she needs to make it right because the others will shame her. That would have been a little iffy, but I could see it happening. But this is not the point of this episode. The best part of this episode are the real heroes of the show, Bulk and Skull. I love, like, we've talked about this multiple times, but Bulk and Skull are not stupid. I think they might have some trouble learning in a just standard environment, but they managed to follow a recipe for turkey dinner pretty well. You know, they've managed to open Rita's toilet seat. I mean, her
dumpster,
whatever. Toilet seat. I don't know why I said toilet seat.
We must crack this toilet seat. This toilet seat is one of the most top-notch toilet seats in the world, and we will never know what the true secrets of it is. I'm sorry.
One of the things is they managed to build a halfway decent first prototype for a jetpack. Like, it's not perfect, but they manage to make it work enough that it sparked and something happened. That if they had taken more time to do it, they could have actually built a legit jetpack. It's just their focus is not on building things for the sake of fun. It's to find out who the Power Rangers are. But it's still cool. They managed to build a jetpack. And like, this goes back to what we've said a lot, that like, if the Power Rangers had actually befriended Bulk and Skull, like that would have been actually pretty cool. And we know from the comics that I think Billy and Skull used to be childhood friends or something like that. And then
that's in the comic books. Yeah.
That's what I said. It's in the comic books.
It's actually featured predominantly in Go-Go Power Rangers because
it wasn't featured. It was in one issue and it was like never mentioned again.
No, it was in a couple issues. Like they actually used it in the early phases of Go-Go Power Rangers because they wanted to use it as a way to focus more on the Rangers outside of being a Ranger.
Yeah, but it honestly didn't really go anywhere, which was unfortunate because it had a lot of potential.
It definitely had a lot of potential, but then when they got into the whole Shattered Grid, that's where Skull and Bulk really kind of developed more in the comics.
Anyway, the point being that there is a lot of potential for a lot of really cool backstory for all of these characters, Aisha, Adam, Rocky for sure, geez Louise, and the existing and the other Rangers. And this entire season feels like a giant big what if story. Like the actual season of Power Rangers is something that the four of us and Voices from the Grid came up with. And this is like some 12-year-old's fan fiction version that put Tommy as the Mary Sue of the group. Like, I'm sorry. I just, yeah. Also the whole Kim and the girl tying at the end was just like peak Power Ranger cheesiness. Like one couldn't have been better than the other. And they couldn't have, like, it would have been actually cool if, like, as a confidence booster to Shauna, because she's clearly traumatized, she actually won. And Kim comes over to congratulate her, and then her, Aisha, and Kim and Shauna go for, like, milkshakes. Also, why do all of the events happen at the juice bar? Like, kudos to Ernie for peak marketing strategy, because everybody rents out the juice bar for all of their martial arts events, for their gymnastics tournaments, for all of their, like,
classes,
special events and things like that, classes, picnics, Halloween specials, charity fundraisers. Like Ernie should have like an entire like juice bar franchise by this point.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely the hop in place.
I mean, this episode is so lame, I don't even have a full page of notes. It's like, I get, it's like 75% of the page, 60% of the page is just notes on this episode. Because unlike for Nerdy Notions, I don't actually write out the entire plot of the episode because there's no point because Mike gives us the quick run through. So I just point out things that annoy me or things I like. In yeah, this case, the jetpack.
I think you actually do more talking on Nerdy Notions than I do.
Because it's my show.
Yeah, that's also true. I just chime in every now and then. It's like, hi, I still exist.
He's the man behind the curtain. But yeah, there's really not much to say about this episode. Oh, also, the line about the swoon over the White Ranger thing was just like, I threw up in my mouth a little bit. Like, I don't even give one putty. This is what you force me to do when you put me on a PG show. I have to make weird references.
You know, your Nerdy Notions went from being a PG-13 to almost an NSFW at this point.
We made the conscious decision to review the X-Men. There is no turning back now. And Deadpool. You can't really have a PG-13 show when you're reviewing Deadpool.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Anyway, my point being that I do not give a single putty about Tommy and Kim's relationship. And there's like in the Return of the Green Ranger, it was like their relationship was a little bit better in terms of like casually hanging out and like hugging, and we'll see that more in Storybook Rangers. But here it was just like, oh, the White Ranger's here. It's like, Kim, okay, are you gonna faint again like you did the first time you saw him? Like, it's not that great of a uniform that like you're just gonna like, seriously, no, what, like, oy. I think Kim goes to gymnastics camp or wherever it is she goes to at the end of next season.
She goes to, like, I think some type of Olympics or something like that.
Yeah, and she meets, like, real people and then dumps Tommy because she realizes, like, she was just a 12-year-old. so that's all I got. This episode was so boring. Not as boring as the next one, but still pretty boring.
Which brings us to our next episode, which is A Real Fish Story. And that is, now it's time for everyone's favorite segment in my mind, the quick run through. Yes, it's even still my favorite segment in my mind while still dealing with migraines. It's the brain still works, I promise. Sasha's just like very little bit. Just a little bit. But anyways, yeah. It's the quick run through of A Real Fish Story, which begins at the lake where Rocky is lifeguarding while kids are playing. One kid is super nervous about going into the lake. That kid is totally me. I'm right there with you, buddy. Bulk and Skull pull a prank that scared the kids. Zed unleashes a new monster and it's heading to the lake. Zordon contacts the Rangers, except for Tommy, who's unavailable. Adam, who's unavailable along with Adam and Kim, who is with Tommy. Billy, Aisha, and Rocky morph into action. They take on the shark monster. Then Zed brings out two more sea monsters to fight the Rangers. And now the crayfish monsters enters the fray. Alpha finally gets a hold of the others and they morph and join the battle. Zed in return creates a new monster out of an inflatable tube. Another reason why to stay away from the water, because you can't trust those inflatable tubes. Zed makes the tube monster grow, and then Tommy stays to take on the four monsters while the others do the Thunder Megazord to take on the tube monster. And the Rangers win. And then at the lake, Bulk and Skull are struggling, and the little kid saves them. Oh, and that's actually it, because this is also just one page of notes.
Yeah.
First off, Rocky's a really bad lifeguard. I just want to throw that out.
Rocky is just a bad character, not in the sense of like he's done bad things, in the sense that he's just boring. He the Rangers are all good with kids, so the kid angle was completely unnecessary.
But I totally feel that kid, because I'm totally that kid. Even as an adult, I'm still that kid. Except I won't go in the water to save anybody, because I'll drown. First attempt of trying, so.
I mean, I guess, but the thing of it is that, like, it makes this entire episode could have had potential of, like, maybe Rocky is to do lifeguard duty and he has to, like, figure out how to. I don't even know, because even as a Rocky centric episode, this episode makes no sense. First of all, Rocky will now be referred to as One Dimension Lad, because. He's one-dimensional. You could replace him with a potato sack that talks and it would change nothing. I like the actor that plays Rocky. He's just a very underdeveloped character. And actually, like, Aisha, I think, unfortunately, and Rocky are some of, like, the most underdeveloped characters of the season. Like, Adam goes through an entire arc, and we're kind of getting towards the end of the season notes, but, like, Rocky goes through an entire, like, or not Rocky, Adam has several episodes that establish his, like, insecurity and his kind of shyness around girls and things like that. Give me one personality trait that Rocky has. Oh, wait.
He likes to have fun.
Yeah, like, they all like having a good time. Also, something that's interesting is that we only see, I actually have a note about this episode. It's a very important note. Where is it? 1 second. It's very important. Okay, so I actually decided to note when Adam arrived for Ben this time.
Adam, for just this one episode. Okay.
Just because it was very glaring. Adam does not appear until 10 minutes and 50 seconds. And I agree with Ben, that is absolutely unacceptable. So the plot here is that, like, there's this kid that's insecure about his swimming and monsters on the lake, which is really stupid, but fine. Kids are weird. And then there's a whole bunch of fish monsters that Zed keeps making, and instead of being a cool episode about Rocky, like, maybe taking the lead and taking out the guys, it's actually unclear who's leading this team, because, like, it was, like, it could have been a cool Billy episode to show Billy's experience as a leader, to show that, like, he's a strong ass Tommy by this point, and that he's been a Ranger for, I guess, a year or something like that by this point, right? So, like, there's potential there that gets wasted. It's not a Rocky-centric episode. It's more of, like, Rocky, Aisha, and Billy do stuff. Then Tommy, Kim, and Adam, for some reason, poor Adam, has to third wheel to go scuba diving for some reason. And what's interesting is that we don't actually see Adam, Kim, or Tommy, except for, like, 2 seconds, and then they morph. I don't know if this was intended as kind of, like, balance to give the other half of the cast, like, a day off or something from, a couple days off from shooting or whatever, but it's just very strange. But, all right.
And it should be noted that this is getting close to the point where they're getting ready to leave for Australia to do the movie.
Okay, so in that case, that would make sense.
Yeah, because a real fish story
in Australia.
So filming in Australia was The Wedding, Return of the Green Ranger. I believe Best Man for the Job was one. I think Storybook Rangers was one. Wild West Rangers, I think, was one as well. Blue Ranger Gone Bad, I think, was the last one that was actually done back here in the States.
Oh, I guess since these are filler episodes, you can just sort of toss them in wherever you want in the season. But yeah, okay, I get that. So then they sort of tried to balance it out to give some of the cast, like, time off before the trip. That's one of the probably few considerate things that the Saban industry did.
Being how it's non-union, and for the TV show itself, is still non-union.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, I'm surprised they even bothered with silly things like days off. But anyway.
Well, I think because at that point with the movie being a union project.
Oh, that's why.
That might have had to be forced in, because when they did Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, and Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, those are both considered union films. Whereas everything else.
But it also invests in good writing.
Of course, obviously everything else is non-union.
Yeah, Bulk and Skull doing the whole shark thing was a little bit silly compared to their last episode. They were on point. They had a jetpack. This episode, they're just trying to put themselves in danger so the Rangers will rescue them. Come on, boys, that's just not cool. Don't do that.
Yeah, you learned from that when Skull was rocking that beautiful medieval dress, and you know it just wasn't working.
Speaking of things that were hilarious and not working, there's a shot where, like, the first time they mentioned that Adam, Kim, and Tommy are scuba diving, they literally go to a shot of two people scuba diving, holding hands, and there's one guy behind them. I'm like, poor Adam. Like, I have probably, like, three or four notes about how Adam is the third wheel here.
All we have to say is poor Adam.
That, like, Aisha's actress has, like, really good chemistry with everybody. Like, she just, like, radiates sunshine. I don't know what it is, but, like, she has really good chemistry with Billy. She has really good chemistry with Rocky or with Adam. Like, I wish there was more inter-ranger dating, like, other than Tommy and Kim, but because nobody cares about Tommy and Kim. But just, like, she has really good chemistry. It would have been cool to see, like, the, like, what, how each friendship is maybe different.
You go on about, like, that nobody cares about the Tommy and Kim relationship.
Oh, I know.
We're preparing stuff for, like, convention, possible first convention in a year and a half or so. But, you know, because we're submitting stuff now. And that would be a really great take for you and definitely Ben, because we know Ben would throw the same take out, too.
Oh, I love
at a convention in front of an actual audience to see what the audience reaction.
Oh, guaranteed, we'd get booed right there in the stage. But it doesn't change the fact that, like here's the thing. I think people like Tommy and Kim for nostalgia reasons as a ship. Like, yeah, they're cute when you're 12 and you're seeing yourself as Kim or Tommy. Well, the straight people maybe. Well, actually, no, never mind. Whichever one you prefer, if you're. But, like, you realize that, like, they're, like, yeah, we see them going on dates and holding hands and occasional, like, kisses on the cheek and things like that. But, like, there have been much better romances in Power Rangers, like Ashley and Andros or Jen and Wes or Lily and, from Jungle Fury. I can't remember his name.
Blanking at the moment.
The blue and yellow rangers from Jungle Fury. Like, there were decent, like, with Jungle Fury, you could see, like, really good chemistry that, like, you just wanted to see these two characters just, like, hang out all the time. But while Michael looks it up, I was literally just watching Jungle Fury. How do I not remember his name? Because it was.
I wasn't looking it up. I was actually checking something off on the list for the show.
Anyway, so it was Casey. Well, anyway, back to my point being that Kim and Tommy's relationship, maybe just the 90s cheesiness that's, like, killing me slowly. But, like, I just don't see it. But anyway, that's not the point. We'll talk more about their relationship next episode. Let's see. Why are Squad and Babu even still here? That's a valid question I've had all season. They did one entire valuable thing this season. That was Zed sent them to drop the sleep machine. Like, he could have sent Goldar to do that. He could have sent, like, Finster could have done that. Like, why are Squad and Babu still here? They do nothing. If I was Lord Zed and I was trying to take over the universe, I would drop them in and say, go destroy something or I will destroy you myself.
All right, have fun, you know.
So I will give Zed credit in this episode. He actually attempts to kind of overload the Rangers by sending in, like, what, four monsters?
Yeah, it's like four regular monsters and then one monster that gets gigantic.
Okay, right. So I'm going to ask a dumb question now. So imagine you have six Rangers, right? And four monsters here and one giant one over there. Now, logically, you would send one ranger on a Megazord, right, to fight the big monster, and then the other five rangers will fight the four monsters, right? That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Sentai footage.
But none of that happens. Instead, we get Jesus Ranger Tommy with his fancy... Seriously, could he do that the entire time? And why will this never be mentioned again? Like, Sentai footage be damned, because
Sentai footage is because of the Zord battle side of things.
Okay, you know what? Sentai footage be damned, because everybody knows how little I care about Sentai. So here's the thing. The logic for why Tommy needs to stay and where Tommy's like, oh, I'll take care of these guys, you guys go, is really silly. Like, there should have been a way better, like, if you're gonna use that monster and you need the five rangers, then use a different plot. Because there is no reason why you need to leave one ranger who's apparently considerably overpowered than the other five to fight the four monsters while they fight the one. Like, it's just waste and impractical. Also, at this point, Zordon and Alpha's entire job is just to interpret what is happening instead of contribute anything of value to anything. I like Alpha, though. We can keep Alpha, but, like, Zordon is useless.
Especially when Alpha gets sassy.
Oh, man. Sassy Alpha is still peak perfection. That is probably, like, the best part of this season, aside from the wedding, is just Alpha sass. But no, seriously, could Tommy have done the lightning thing the entire time? Like, why has he never used it before? And why will we, and we're probably never going to see it again. But also something to note is that, like, at this point, like, the season's coming to an end, but there doesn't really seem to be an end in sight. I will give more points that, one other thing. Rita is absent from this episode, which only further makes me think that this should have been an earlier season, like, filler episode.
The reason that Rita is absent from this and also Forever Friends is because she doesn't come back for another two episodes. Because you have Rangers back in time next, and then you have the wedding.
See, this is what happens when we record things out of order. It messes with my head. Never mind. I take it back. Let's see. Dougie helping. Okay, in that case, Dougie helping Bulk and Skull and, like, saving them was actually very cute for him. Like, that was a nice moment.
But that also is, in a way, kind of flawed too, because it's like he doesn't want to get in the water. He's afraid to get in the water, and then all of a sudden he can swim at the drop of a dime.
I mean, hold on. Nobody. No. Hold on. Rewind. Nobody said he couldn't swim. He was just afraid of the lake because there were monsters.
Hmm.
Nobody ever said the kid couldn't swim. He just chose not to swim in a lake because there were monsters in the lake. This is child logic.
Okay, we'll go with child logic then.
So that's all I got. This episode, that's it. I don't even have the energy to try to rewrite it. I'm just bored.
Okay, then with that, just go right into social medias.
And you can find my lovely, fabulous self, Annoying Comic Book Nerds, on geekgirl101.tumblr.com. Annoying somebody probably on Twitter, because who doesn't get annoyed on Twitter, at Geeky Kaplan with a K for the greatest superhero in the entire world, but especially the Marvel one, Billy Kaplan. And on geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com, where you can see me getting annoyed about comics.
And you can follow me on Twitter at @thelindabomb75, where the only thing you'll probably see is my friend Scott trying to help me get my first shot for the vaccine, because that's the only person who's actually commenting on anything I put on Twitter right now. Thanks, Scott. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, on Twitch doing the video games at twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and website txhthockey.com, and for the show specific /VFTG, and Twitter at VFTG_PR. That's the migraine making me do the pause there, trying to remember that I had a website to plug. I'm sorry. So with that, until our next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you.
Where are all the good Power Ranger episodes.